Welcome to the Beat Red podcast, a show where we talk about embarrassing stories. We share our stories. We share your stories. We're here to bring levity to your day, to make you laugh, make you cringe, all the fun things.
Yes.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate. Let's turn Beat Red.
Woo! Woo. How was your week?
Oh, I mean, I'm trying to think. What did I do? What was this week about? What are we heading towards at this moment? We're heading towards Valentine's Day, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I got my husband. Okay, I might have delirious ordered. I don't know if people do this, but sometimes I'm so tired and I just buy something.
Everyone does that.
I did it, forgot about it. It came in the mail yesterday. It is a 8x10 canvas of one of the shots of him jumping out of an airplane. And I'm going to spin it. I have a whole plan for it.
Is his face like blowing back in the wind?
His face is blowing back in the wind. He looks like a chipmunk. The wind is rapidly blowing his cheeks. It's a terrible angle. And he's like, just free as a bird. And I ordered it. I must have thought, oh, you know, this is my husband before kids or something. I don't know. So I'm going to give it to him from our son. Like, happy Valentine's Day, Dad. I love your spirit. You know what I mean?
You can say you are the wind beneath my wings, right?
Yes, actually, that's wonderful. You nailed it. I'm doing it. I'm salvaging the delirium by. Okay, great.
It's either way, it's going to make him laugh and that's going to be good.
Or cry. I'm going to be crying. I'm going to be fake crying. I'm like, our son is so thoughtful. I mean, just going to try to milk it. How was your week? What's up?
It was good. I did some thrifting. That's my other favorite pastime, for those who don't know.
She's a pro.
I love thrifting. It is my favorite thing.
She's a superpower.
I love it. You do too. And you're like, and I do too.
There's something that's worth $7,000 in the corner. I'm getting it.
I do. I know people will be like, can you show me how? And I'm like, weirdly, I can't. It's like an innate thing that I do feel like I have a scanner in me and I can kind of just look around a space and you'll be like, how did you see that? I was just standing there. And yep. I'm like, I don't know. I just saw it.
X-ray vision.
It's X-ray vision for the goods.
Yep.
I found some new places. That was really fun. And yes. We're going tomorrow.
I know.
We're going to the PCC tomorrow. That's a really good flea. Yeah.
Katie does these really beautifully curated videos and I just take videos of really weird, random things that I see.
Yours are my favorite.
And try to put them in on music. A clown.
Yeah. I'm like, yes.
It's all about that pig and that song.
Yeah.
Which I really hope they keep the music on Instagram because of TikTok. They're taking it off, which I get, but.
Yeah, that's no good.
Instagram's got to keep that music. Music keeps me alive on Instagram.
Music keeps everyone alive.
It's true. Music saves.
All right. Let's get into it. Let's tell you some stories.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
This first one comes from Cheyenne in New York, and she writes, my boyfriend and I have been dating for a couple of years and we're very much in love. We talked about living together, and since he had a rent-controlled apartment, I decided to move in with him.
Oh, that's the best.
Good.
You're going to pay $20 for your rent. Great.
In New York especially, yeah. This would be my first time living with a partner, and I was excited but also very nervous. It's not exactly easy finding an apartment or roommates in New York, so I worried about what would happen if it didn't work out. I decided to take the plunge anyway and packed my studio up over the next month.
Good for you, girl. That's a lot. You're leaving your apartment and you're moving in. That's commitment.
It's scary. It is scary, especially if you've never done it before.
Oh, yeah. That's and you can't deal. Get, if you break up with someone in a New York apartment, all you have to do is walk over to the other side of the apartment, which is 2 feet away, and stare out the window and you're pissed. So you got to make sure you love this
person.
You're
speaking from experience.
Oh, no, I just, you know, imagine it.
Moving is never fun, and it's especially not fun on a hot, sticky day in New York. I quickly found out it's a very stressful event for a couple, but we got through it, even when the moving company lost two of my boxes. Oof. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh,
fortunately.
Yeah. Well, I've had things. I open up things and like entire teacup sets are shattered. My antiques that my mom saved just for me just shattered. Sorry, mom. I hope you don't hear
that. That's the worst.
Yeah. Shards of glass.
Everywhere. No good. I was still feeling a little anxious, but mostly happy as I looked around at what was now our apartment filled with boxes from my former life. My boyfriend is a bit of a neat freak and I'm a little more sloppy, so I knew it was important that I start unpacking as soon as possible. It was around 2 p.m. and I was feeling gross, so I took a quick shower and changed into a tank top and pajama shorts before I started unboxing. I wanted to add some pieces of myself around the apartment, so I started unpacking art and knickknacks first and decorating the living room. He appreciated the stylish touches that I was adding. It was around 6 p.m. before we knew it, and we realized neither of us had eaten all day other than some quick snacks. Mm. That moving, like, it goes by so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so fun, too, to sort of just combine your lives, you know, the early days of just like, this is what I like. This is my mermaid collection. Didn't tell you about it till now.
And surprise, now you like it, too. Okay, so we decided to order from our favorite Thai place. The food arrived, and to save ourselves from doing the dishes, we ate right out of the containers. We ordered our usual pad thai and drunken noodles. We were scarfing it down pretty quickly. Suddenly, our taste buds caught up with our stomachs, and we both realized it was crazy spicy, like abnormally spicy.
Oh, no.
Our mouths were on fire. We both chugged our wine and kept saying, "Why is it so spicy?" Then I said the words that live on to this day. I suppose I will be immortalized by them. I said, "I feel like my butthole is spicy." Just then, I felt like I had to fart.
Oh, no.
And we are a fart-positive couple, so I let it rip.
Fart-positive. Okay, so the couple who farts together stays together. That's funny.
That's right. Unfortunately, my spicy butthole had other plans.
No!
Suddenly, I shot diarrhea out of my shorts, and it ran all down my leg and even onto the floor.
That is crazy. That's crazy that you're having a cute moment where you're talking about how spicy the food is and why is it so spicy. And then the next minute you have diarrhea running down your leg.
I feel like my butthole is spicy.
The first night
they moved it together, I feel like my butthole is spicy. And then you've diarrheaed all over the floor.
I was going to say they could crochet that on the pillow that they
my
have.
My butthole is spicy.
My butthole is spicy.
It's pretty good.
Ooh, okay, inside joke. That's an ultimate inside joke for someone coming into your apartment. You know.
So what do you think happened? What do you think he did?
I mean, probably just evicted her.
That was it. They couldn't survive it. Okay, let's see what happened. My boyfriend said, "Oh my God," and pointed to my legs and the floor and fell over hysterically laughing.
Oh.
I was so embarrassed and also felt helpless because I didn't want to track it all over the house. I said, "Don't just laugh at me. I need help." He finally composed himself after a 5-minute laughing fit and handed me some paper towels so I could clean up. We never ordered Thai food again.
I really like the part of that story I love so much is that they're a fart positive couple.
They're a
so
fart positive just
like,
couple.
You bring people into your house and say, like, "We're fart positive. Go ahead and do whatever you want.
Let it rip."
Yeah, let it rip.
Spicy buttholes, you like not our welcome. Food,
just let it out.
Why is it always Thai food? I feel like it's always Thai food making people shit themselves.
I don't know. What is in there? Why was it so spicy?
It's the spicy food.
Yeah, I can't do spices at all. So there's no way. I applaud them for getting it anything but extra mild. That's great.
Well, it sounds like they said they get it all the time and it's abnormally spicy this time. So surprise, spicy butthole.
New neighborhood, new Thai spot.
That's right. New floors.
Spicy butthole. Burned pajamas. Burned pajama bottoms.
Just a hole in the back of the pajama pants.
You just have
you blazed through them.
I was going to say she burned them in her trash can, but I like it better that she just burned a hole of diarrhea through her pants.
It was literally a burning fart. A burning shirt. Yeah.
She gave them some warning.
That's really embarrassing.
That really is.
I have to say.
But cute because they obviously loved each other and it was always well.
Everyone has some kind of story like that, you know? And I love that, yeah, you get to share them with us and you get to see like, okay, yeah, I've done that too. Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe I can let it go.
And like, instead of saying, you know, "I hope I find the love of my life so that we can travel the world or have a child or not or travel the world," you can say, "Maybe I'll find the love of my life who lets me diarrhea down my leg in front of him and loves me evermore," you know?
Laughs for 5 minutes. Yeah, it's pretty great.
That is really good. Okay, this is from Sammy in Louisiana. Sammy. Mm-hmm. I love that name. Okay, he writes, "Teaching is a challenging profession. In general, I feel like that's pretty well documented. What many people don't realize is that the first couple of years learning the job are very difficult." I can imagine that, mm-hmm. right? "And the first few days are downright hellish."
Teachers have it so hard. I commend them. Like, honestly, especially what we got to see during the pandemic when kids were homeschooled. Like, it's so hard.
Them and nurses and
doctors. The patients, yeah.
Oh, but
they deserve
teachers,
all the money.
They do. Mm-hmm. It's the most noble profession. I mean, how do you, you're, yeah, you do. You're all there. You're there all day. So he writes, this is a story about the first time I tried to teach a class on my own and how, even after hours of careful planning, all of my meticulous preparation exploded in my face. Oh, no. Mm. Is he a science teacher? While perusing my master's in education, I was given a student teaching assignment at a middle school in the town where I was living at the time. The school was diverse, lots of kids from different cultural and economic backgrounds. It was a good place to begin developing my craft. I was to teach sixth grade ancient history, and I was assigned to a teacher who was supposed to gradually release control of the class to me. That's not what happened. When I showed up and introduced myself to my mentor teacher, he said, oh shit, I forgot you were coming. This is amazing. My wife just told me I wasn't allowed to play poker online at home anymore. Looks like somebody found a loophole. You got this, right? What?
Oh no.
Can you imagine?
No.
Your first day and
you're supposed to ease into it and you're
like,
dealing with a bunch
in Vegas.
Of 12 and 13 year olds that are already, that's rough.
And then he walked over to his computer, sat down and began playing online poker, which is pretty much what he did for the whole semester. Mm. Oh, I hope he
You got the good teachers and you got the bad teachers.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. There are really bad ones and there are really good ones. Luckily, I had a lesson plan that I was very proud of concerning the mummies of ancient Egypt. I'll spare you the details, but it involves students creating their own little sarcophaguses with mummies inside.
I love that. I would be
too.
So excited to do that. I think
but
that's
I'm
awesome.
Really scared for him.
Yeah.
Because he's his first day.
Yeah.
And he's got a whole plan where they're going to make mummies.
Yeah.
And the guy's playing poker and oh man.
And everybody was probably coasting through that class before if he was just online all the time on his computer. They probably were just like talking to each other and like throwing spitballs.
They weren't prepared for an actual lesson. Maybe.
Yeah. They're like, we don't want to do work in here. We don't want to learn things.
Start me now.
Yeah.
So there I was, my supposed mentor indulging his gambling addiction on his work computer, me with crisp handouts gripped in my sweaty palms, and in came the students. You got a new teacher today, said the mentor teacher from the corner between poker hands. I quickly made my way to the board and began writing my name. I don't want to give out my last name and dox myself, but I will say that it does have a lot of vowel sounds and sounds vaguely like, your name is Queefy, explained one of the students who hadn't sat down yet. What's Queefy? Asked another student.
No, you instantly got a nickname.
Oh. So one of the students is like, what's Queefy? And then another student goes, oh, that's when you fart out of your pussy.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You can do that? Said a student in the back. Yeah, my sister does it all the time, said the young man who started this line of inquiry, and everyone laughed. I mean, he's standing there writing his name on the chalkboard or whiteboard, and someone calls him Mr. Queefy.
And now he's Queefy. You're Queefy.
And then they explain it.
Forever known as Queefy. You can't get out of that one.
Oh, this was not what I had in mind when I planned my lesson. Clearly, the situation had gone off the rails. Then the young man who butchered my name began chanting, Queefy, Queefy, Queefy.
No.
Like, no, this teacher's probably in the corner not care at
he's
all.
Checked out. He's like they're your problem now. Yeah.
It's like he's just hearing them chant.
He's like, finally, they stopped calling me Farty and now they're calling you Queefy. This is great.
Oh, several other children joined in. At this point, I was panicked. I had no idea how I was going to regain control of the situation. I turned on the overhead projector and pulled one of the pictures of mummification I had to share and put it under the document reader. And suddenly they were silent. The picture I had chosen was of an Egyptian surgeon pulling a dead pharaoh's brain out of his nose.
Oh, nice.
I know. Good save, brother.
Yeah.
What is this? Your brain can come out of your nose? My fortune's fair hand, I had them engaged and the crisis was averted.
That's so funny.
Can you believe?
Yeah.
Like, that's... I mean, kids are so mean.
They're
but
so
can
mean.
Can you imagine? I would never be mean to my teacher like that, ever. I would never be like, Queefy, Queefy, to a teacher...
I remember when I learned, I did a book report on it too, but I remember when I learned that you could pull the brain out through the nose with the hook, and it was so fascinating to me too.
Why did they do that?
After they...
mummify you or something?
Yeah,
Or it's part of the mummification
Because I
process.
Don't think they didn't want to like cut into them or whatever. That's how they like pulled it out.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So
yeah.
That is like definitely entertaining.
That would snap
entertaining.
Me into attention. You know,
that got you out of Queefy.
That got him out of the
Hopefully that was a
Queefy
save.
Chant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good save. Good save, Mr. Queefy.
Yeah. That's kids are rough, man. I don't envy that at all.
Know.
Yeah. Like people who teach like middle school
right.
and like fifth, sixth, high school even, like that's hard.
Well, I feel like they push their boundaries until you somehow wrangle them into not doing that in a respectful way where they are on board. I don't know. It's a lot.
There's
they
a lot of chances for embarrassment. So I feel like that is, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. And I don't know if you, oh God, I'm just going to fully admit this, but when I was a kid, I could smell fear in my teachers. You know what I mean? Because you've got like your group. I mean, you can of course get in trouble and sent to the principal's office, but you know, when like that riot mentality, you're like, oh, like, or like a pack mentality, yeah, where you're a bunch of coyotes and you're going to go after that little rabbit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes teachers are those little rabbits.
Queefy got out of it.
Queefy. Good job, Queefy. Good job, Queefy. You found the rabbit hole.
Okay. This next story comes from Mary Jane in Oklahoma.
Oh, Mary Jane.
Mary Jane. And she writes, when I was in my 20s, I used to get bacterial vaginosis a lot because I had a copper IUD and it really upset my pH balance. It was really annoying and an inconvenience, especially when I wanted to have sex with my boyfriend. I got the IUD for him in the first place, and now it caused my smell and discharge to be off and made me really insecure.
Aww. Oh, man.
Luckily, I found boric acid vaginal suppositories, and when I was having an issue, I would pop one in at night, it would dissolve, and I would be good the next day. Well, that's good.
That's really good. Thank you. What is it?
Boric acid. Boric acid.
Vaginal
suppository. Insert. So those are, if you don't know what a suppository is, that's where you would insert it into your vagina instead of like taking a pill into your mouth. So you pop it in there, it dissolves, and you're good the next day. Okay. This usually happened at least monthly, and I kept the boric acid pills in my nightstand drawer. I knew my boyfriend was coming over the next day, so I made sure to pop a pill the night before so I would be all good. My boyfriend came over, and we had an amazing date, and then we headed to the bedroom. We started having sex, and something felt really off. I was in a lot of pain, and it was weird. I tried my best to get through it, but I was nervous about how this felt. That's never a good feeling.
That's not good.
As I climbed off and looked down at the condom, it looked crazy. It looked like it was covered in poop and a little blood. That's so scary.
Oh, that's so scary.
I was super freaked out. I tried to hide my face from my boyfriend and pulled off the condom in one swift motion and said, I'll dump this in the trash. I tried to casually walk to the bathroom, but I was freaking out. Was I dying? Was I somehow pooping out of my vagina?
Oh, no.
What is this crazy brown discharge? And it smelled bizarre, like almost herbal. I was so confused and scared and also embarrassed, and I didn't want to bring it up to my boyfriend and hoped he hadn't seen or smelled it. When he got up to go get a glass of water, I went to go open the nightstand and examine the boric acid bottle. I then realized that in my haste, I had not grabbed the bottle of boric acid last night. I had grabbed the bottle of Chinese herbal medicine pills that my mom had bought for me. I had shoved into the same drawer and had never used.
Okay, so she put that up there.
Yes.
And it's herbs.
It's meant to be a pill that you swallow. Chinese herbs. Yeah.
What is the, oh, wow. Okay.
And so, she accidentally used it as a vaginal suppository. Okay.
Oh, wow. So it just dissolved and then just, it was all just there. Those herbs were just hanging out.
Gunky herbs coming out.
Whoa.
I was so relieved that I wasn't dying or pooping out of my vagina. And I guess I'm really lucky that the random pill I shoved up myself was only an herbal medicine pill.
Oh my gosh. I've been in the position where you make stuff up medically.
Oh, everybody does that.
Where you're
that.
Like, oh, clearly, you know, I have, I'm like, she thought she was pooping. Like
you go on
her
WebMD.
Body had rewired itself.
Well, there probably, I feel like there would be some way, like maybe like the canals, if there was a hole or something,
maybe
like you would,
a
that's
hole
what you'd
burned
be like,
in there.
Is there some kind of like situation? What's going on? Like, yeah, you, of course you spiral out and then you look stuff online and you can find anything online.
You can support anything, any theory that you have, you can support it online.
You can probably look up pooping out of your vagina and it's there, you know, like there's something there. That's like, oh my gosh, it's this medical condition, you know?
Yeah. that she was in the throat. Well, they were having sex, and then she's, you know, supposed to be like in this cuddly moment, but instead she's preoccupied with the fact that maybe she's pooping out of her.
She's like, am I dying? And also, I need to save myself this embarrassment, get this off of him, and run away.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad that turned out good. That turned out well, too.
Yes. She said the last little bit was, I paid close attention to the bottles after that, and I got rid of the IUD. Yeah. So that's.
Oh, good. That's like brushing your teeth with, I don't know, like cortisone or something.
I mean, people do stuff like that all the time, too.
I know.
If it's just in your nightstand and like it's late at night or whatever and you're tired, like it happens.
Yeah, so it happens.
Luckily, that's all it was.
Luckily, exactly. Like, right. I don't even know. I shudder to think what else could have happened. But that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad she got rid of it.
She got through it.
Okay, this next one is from Kathy M. in Arizona. And she writes, I was traveling to research a teen article on death education. Do you remember Teen Magazine?
Mm-hmm.
right? I used to cut out Fred, mm-hmm. pictures of Fred Savage and put them on my walls.
Fred Savage.
He was the one.
You know who I loved? Who? Christian Slater.
Well, that, of course.
Christian Slater. I like wrote him letters.
Heathers? Ugh. Oh my gosh. I wrote Fred Savage a letter. And he wrote me back and he said, I hope all yours are wonder years. And it was a signed picture of him.
He did. Mm-hmm. Christian Slater never wrote me back. Well, he I sent just want you to know,
same
Christian.
Letter.
Hey, at least you got one. I didn't get anything. Okay?
My friend Kate Goldhaber got the same exact letter too. And I was like, are you kidding me? Let me see that. She's like, he wrote that to you too. It was like, we were getting cheated on.
I love that.
My
so
friend
much.
Savage. So anyway,
dare you.
She's working on Teen. Mm-hmm. And she said, I went to Indian Lake, Ohio to interview a jolly funeral director. Oh, still has a sense of humor, who co-taught a death education class with the English teacher at a local high school, and then to Minneapolis to interview the director of the Center for Death Education and Research at the University of Minnesota. Whoa, death is a business.
Yeah, no, I know a death doula. It's actually really fascinating.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
A doula.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they guide you with like your final processes and like getting everything in order and like making sure that your wishes are exactly what you want. It's actually like really cool. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like, wow, to have someone to hold all that. Yeah. It was pretty cool. By that time, I had developed a cold that turned out to be pneumonia with a very high fever. When I went to his office to interview him, I introduced myself and his face fell. Teen, he said, crestfallen. When we talked on the phone, I thought you said you were from Time. I quietly vowed to be extra professional to show him I was a serious journalist, even if from Teen. It was actually a good interview and he used a lot of his quotes in the article. But at some point toward the end of the interview, when he was talking about grief, he leaned over, noting my eyes tearing, and asked if I had lost someone recently. I shook my head and told him my eyes were tearing because I had a very high fever. Then I suddenly passed out at his feet.
What? Wait, what?
When I, you know, she's like, no, I have a high fever. And then passes out.
Oh, no.
Like, falls forward, like, in the middle of her interview. When I came to, my head was resting on one of his shoes, and I had thrown up on his other shoe. Her head is right next to her own up.
Oh, no.
That's bad pneumonia.
And his shoe.
Yeah, and he's like didn't move, so he's just like got like this passed out lady and then barf on his other shoe. Oh, at least he's jolly about that. My only consolation was that I was so sick I didn't care. Only later did I blush. I love that. Only later turn beet red.
Did she get the job?
Well, about a year later. So it's just the article.
Oh, okay.
About a year later, I heard from the jolly mortician. He was calling me from a funeral industry convention in Kansas City. Death is a business. Hey, he said, there's a guy here who told me that you threw up on his shoe. We have a dollar bet going. I said, I couldn't imagine you doing anything like that. I told him to fork over the dollar. Why did I ever imagine that the guy in Minnesota would forget the incident? I haven't, and it has been 51 years since it happened.
Wow.
Wow. I love that the guy was like, oh man, you've lost someone, haven't you? And she's like, nope. And then just passes out, just like sweaty and high fever and so bad with pneumonia that she just collapses forward onto
his
shoe.
That's wild. Yeah.
Barfing on the way down, I guess.
That's rough.
That's yeah. Great. I feel like,
you know,
yeah.
He's never going to forget that story. Who forgets somebody passing out and puking on their shoes?
No, I know. Also, what must he have thought in that moment? Like, she just falls forward and he doesn't know what's going on. And then he sees like warm barf like running down his leg. And then she's just not
so
moving.
Scary.
That's so scary.
He's like, did she just die while we were talking about death? Yeah,
he's a pro. If you want to do that to anyone, yeah. You'd be like, okay. I understand. I'd be jolly about it. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. What's yours? What you got? What you got?
Well, that's that.
Well,
I've got another one for you. Okay. This next email comes from Joyce in Washington, and she writes, my boyfriend and I have been dating for about 8 months, and we took our first vacation together in Mexico when we attended my friend's wedding in September 2010. I was overjoyed to be staying in a beautiful hotel together and to get to relax and leave the stress of our jobs behind. It was a substantial 9-day vacation because we wanted a week to ourselves after the wedding. Ooh, nice. 9 days in Mexico. Love it.
That's so nice.
We had both been separately to Mexico before and gotten sick, so we knew of the dangers of drinking the water and ice and getting sick in general, so we went in extra cautiously and played it safe. The wedding was beautiful and we danced under the stars. It was so romantic and I imagined what it would be like to marry him.
Oh.
For the next few days, we mostly relaxed, hanging by the pool, having margaritas, and eating delicious food. Sounds like a dream.
It does sound like a dream. I feel like after 9 days, you'd think you live there.
Yeah, you'd be so relaxed.
Yeah.
We were nearing the end of the trip and we both commented how lucky we were that we hadn't gotten sick and that it was the first time for either of us. We were feeling so refreshed and more in love than ever.
Oh.
And that's when it hit.
Oh.
We were out shopping, getting souvenirs for family, and I got that unmistakable gurgle in my stomach.
Oh, no.
Where you know it's coming and you need to take shelter fast.
Take shelter. Everyone's getting a poop storm coming.
Bomb shelter. I told my boyfriend we needed to go back to the hotel immediately. Fortunately, we were only about 5 minutes away and we raced back. I clenched every muscle in my body and I had to stop and take deep breaths every few steps.
Oh, no.
I was determined not to shit my pants in public, although I'm convinced at this point that locals observing tourists shitting themselves has to be a fairly common sighting.
Yes, yeah, they're like, uh-oh.
Maybe they even have a drinking game out of it or place bets on, on people like me shuffling by, sweating in agony and shame.
Holding the butts.
They're like, okay, I got five on that one. She's definitely going to shit herself in public. It's happening. By the grace of God, I made it back to the hotel and proceeded to act out the scene from Dumb and Dumber on the toilet.
Oh, I know that
we
scene.
All
wow.
know that scene.
One of my favorite movies.
It was already humiliating enough knowing that the sounds were thinly veiled by the quiet bathroom fan. But suddenly my boyfriend flung the door open and said, "Move, I've got to go now." I said, "You can't. I'm literally shitting."
He had to go in the shower.
He said, "It's coming out. Move."
Oh, no.
And proceeded to shove me off of the toilet in the least chivalrous
wow,
move
she's pooping?
Of all time.
Oh, my yes. God.
Mid-poop. No. He shoves her off the toilet.
No.
Mid-poop. No. I was not kidding when I said I was still shitting. So, so rather than get it... the imagery, right? So rather than get it all over the floor, I accepted my fate and began to shit in the shower tub.
Oh, there you go.
I know this is revolting to hear, but it really happened. We shit our brains out side by side.
That is actually so somehow romantic. I don't know why, but somehow
it's not
in my
romantic
mind, that's a,
that he shoved like, her off the toilet, though. He should have shit in the shower. Like, he shoved her off the toilet mid-shit.
He just didn't know what to do. It's panic. It's pandemonium.
So
you don't know.
Pissed.
You don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I would be so
you
pissed.
Learn so much about a person in those moments.
I mean, you yep. are mid shit and you get pushed off the toilet. Yes. Grab yes. a trash can, poop in the trash can,
poop
like
in the
anything.
Trash, sink, go to the sink.
Ew,
what can you do? You got to.
You got to brush your
there's,
teeth in
there's
that
a
later.
Porcelain bin. Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Mm, yeah, I think trash true. Can. Go in the trash can.
Yeah.
Or the shower, which
or
is also gross.
The
but the shower. One cheek, you each get a cheek.
Are just on the toilet. You're like, woo.
You get the left, I got the right. I mean, either way, shoving her off the toilet mid-shit was not the call.
I just imagine her falling over and just poop. Like
I know, just trailing down the side of the toilet. So she's flying off as he just shoves her. He's like, move, get out of the way, I gotta go.
It's like a butt shot of just yeah. poop. Oh, God.
No, I would be pissed. I would be
I
so
would
pissed.
I would be so pissed.
Let's see what happens. Okay. Do you think they stay together? Or do you think it's too much?
I think they think? Stay together.
You think they do? Let's see. I still give him shit, pun intended, about shoving me Yay. Off the toilet, but we did end up getting married, and I'm happy to report that we even went back to Mexico and didn't get sick.
I mean, I think if it's safe to say, if you are next to the person, there's nothing that you can say to them in the heat of the moment or without knowing that they're absolutely excruciated poop
side
face.
By side.
side by side. So you got to hold hands during that.
I mean, I think I would close my eyes at the bare minimum and
you're
look
a poop
down.
Roller coaster.
Probably close your eyes and look down. Like, how can you, like, what if they're like locking would, eyes while would, they're doing
That is just weird, like a weird porn.
It's so disturbing.
That's like very niche porn. That is
no.
so crazy. I would probably cover my whole nose and face with my arm. Like,
yeah,
you're covering
besides
a cough.
The fact that it stinks terribly yeah, in there, like,
you,
think about how bad that bathroom is. That bathroom is blown up.
That bathroom is just
and
out
now it's
of
double.
Order.
But the fact that he shoved her off mid poop is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Like, I think that is so funny.
It's not chivalrous. One time I was waiting tables and there was an earthquake and I ran out. I shoved guests out of my way to get outside. And then it was over. And I had to go in and wait on them. And I realized in that moment, I'm like, that's who I am in my heart. Like,
you're
wherever
George
you go,
Costanza.
There you are.
You're George Costanza. Remember that Seinfeld episode
no.
where he like shoves his girlfriend and I think her mom like out of the way? Yeah, there was like an emergency
no.
like to get out of the
oh
apartment.
That's
so
totally,
funny.
That's in me. That's
love,
in me.
I love that.
I'm admitting it here. It's
hilarious.
Just don't be in my way during an earthquake. You're going to get, you're going to get killed. Okay. This is from Taryn in New Mexico. This was a Cinderella story that ends with me sitting in a pumpkin. Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Let's butter us up. It was 2003 and I was on a dating app. I should start by saying I'm a self-made woman who has put myself through school and then law school. My career has come first and I've done very well financially. In my business, I'm unstoppable, but in the dating world, not so much. Every date I went on, I always paid. The men were gracious when I offered, but their quick agreement got on my nerves, and eventually I implemented a little test for future dates. I told myself that I'd not offer to pay, and if the man I was sitting across from did, I'd go out with him again.
Aww.
That's cool. Okay. He's got to jump one hurdle. He's got to pay that check.
But also, I think it depends on who's asking who, because I think the etiquette is like if they're asking you out on a date, like
they're gonna pay for it.
You should always at least reach for your wallet, ladies. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that.
Oh, hold on a minute.
And gentlemen and whoever.
Although I've paid for so many dates. Like I've always guys in my dating life have been like, great, thanks. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Like, I think it's like a good thing.
Yeah.
If you're a man and you're just like, yeah, well, of course, I'll pay this. Like, this is,
If you asked them out,
I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
So, a cute guy asked to have dinner, and the nerves rose as I thought of the test ahead. The restaurant he chose was gorgeous, and I ordered whatever I wanted. When the bill came, I looked at him sheepishly. The test began. I said, I forgot my wallet. Uncomfortably waiting to see if he'd reach for the check was too much. Making an excuse pushed him into pass or fail more quickly. Instead of just being like, you know, that's awkward. Instead, you just say you forgot your wallet. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Without skipping a beat, he paid and we were off and running. Now that I knew he was a chivalrous sweetheart, I planned the next date. The plan was to spoil him at my favorite restaurant and take care of everything. I told him to just show up at the place where I was waiting and we had a beautiful dinner. Ordering all of my favorites, plate after plate of delicious food was delivered to our mounting delight. We giggled as wine flowed like a river into our glasses. What a reveal. Not only were we a match, laughing and toasting throughout the dinner, but by the end it was clear that this is the kind of person that I am. I love to spoil people.
Oh, that's so nice.
It was like a Beauty and the Beast situation for him. He like shows up and he's like, oh, I'm with a millionaire. Like, you know, she's got this. Whoa, like jackpot. I passed the test. Yeah. Now my life is, you know, gold. The check came and I reached into my purse for my wallet, which wasn't there.
Oh, no.
That is so bad. I frantically searched for it. No longer flushed with flirtation, a genuine flush of panic came over me. I'd really forgotten my wallet. I'd taken a purse that matched my outfit, but forgotten in my excitement to put my damn wallet in there.
I've done that.
No, me too.
But he's like, really?
Oh, I mean.
Really? Again?
I wonder though. Maybe he'll be cool about it. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think he's going to do?
Well, I mean, if it were me, I would obviously pay for it, but I would also be like,
if I went
on a date with a guy and he twice was like, I forgot my wallet, I'd be like,
this person's homeless.
Fool me once. Fool me once, buddy.
Yeah. There's no good way to... forgetful.
Maybe you should get that checked out.
Yeah.
Or you're trying to steal
from this restaurant. Like, what if I didn't bring my wallet? You know? I looked up and he stared at me coldly. He said, let me guess. You forgot your wallet. He looked skeptical, like he'd had this happen before. Aww. Oh, I nodded, mortified. This was before Venmo or Zelle and the banks were closed. I told him I'd pay him back if he could take care of it. That's awkward.
He's like, maybe you shouldn't have ordered the caviar and the lobster like, and the oysters.
Why did a live beluga whale come out here to be butchered before our eyes as we toasted?
We could have maybe not had 23 appetizers.
He's like, why? You had to get the surf and turf.
If you knew you weren't going to pay, you didn't have to get the filet, okay?
Why did monkey brains, the $1,000 monkey brains? Ew, gross. Why am I making them eat monkey brains? Okay, so anyway, this was before. So the night lost all steam and he stopped talking to me after he paid the bill.
Ouch.
Oh, he was pissed. We left pretty quickly. The look on his face while we waited for valet still haunts me. He just stared at the sidewalk with his hands in his pockets.
Oh, no.
This guy has been played before.
It's done.
He's had this happen.
Wait, so before the date, she said, it's my treat?
Yeah, she's like, just meet me at the restaurant. I mean, meet me here. And then probably during the date, she's like, I'm taking you. You know, this is me. Like, I always pay. I just want you to know. You know what I mean? Probably did a reveal.
That's amazing.
And then
I wonder how much that bill was. I'm so curious.
Oh, probably like thousands of bucks.
So curious.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like she's killing it, you know, in her field. I saw him once after that. I just love the idea.
At least he got back together. Or is that just to give him money?
A few days later to give him a wad of cash on the sidewalk outside of my building. That's so sad.
Wait, but if she actually gave him the money, he still didn't want to talk to her? Like,
I can't believe he showed up to get the money. But I mean, obviously he wasn't expecting to pay that much and he probably wouldn't have ordered that much. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, but still, like, if she showed, like, her true character, he should have given her another chance.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe I guess he showed his true character too.
Right. That's what she said. She said, however, in the end, an honest mistake protected me from dating that mercurial asshole. Bullet dodge. Whoa.
True.
Okay. She's like, bullet dodge. I mean, that's so hard.
Wait, where's the pumpkin in the story?
Well, I think it's just that she was a, like,
it's
like
a metaphorical
she's at the
pumpkin.
Ball with her prince and then like no wallet, like just sitting in a pumpkin.
I wanted her to really be in a pumpkin. I was waiting for an actual pumpkin to be at the
end of
the story.
You know what? That's an embarrassing story. If you slip and fall in a pumpkin, you can't get out. It's some kind of ag fair. Let us know if that ever happened.
If you've been lost in a pumpkin, email us.
You've been stuck sitting in a pumpkin right before a corn maze. Get that story to the press.
Please let us know. Okay, this last story comes from Grace in Kansas, and she writes, when I was in eighth grade, my dad ended up taking a job offer that was 2 hours away from where we lived. It meant a better life for our family, which was exciting, but it also meant that I had to say goodbye to all of my friends and teachers halfway through the year and become the new kid at a new school.
That's so hard.
That is so rough. In eighth grade? That's and halfway through the year?
Right, and heading towards high school, though.
That's so hard.
Yeah. You gotta have your pals.
Yeah. Middle school is just rough anyway. That's the hardest time. To have to switch schools in middle school halfway through the year.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Our new house softened the blow a bit because it was a lot bigger than our old one. I wouldn't have to share a room with my older sister anymore. We did not get along back then.
Aww.
And we had a basement with a game room. I was sad to leave my friends behind, but hoped that the new school would be a chance for me to reinvent myself and maybe even become popular.
See, that's something. You show up and no one knows you're the mysterious new girl and no one knows who where you've come from.
Sometimes the new girl is the hot new thing.
Right. End of story. She killed it.
Right.
She was amazing.
And that's the story.
Prom queen.
Okay. We know our stories don't go like that.
Nope.
I barely slept at all the day before I started school because I couldn't stop thinking about what it would be like and if I would be accepted. My mom drove me to school and made sure that I was all checked in and settled, but told me to ride the bus home after school. My first day went okay. I met some nice kids, but I was still trying to suss out the crowd I wanted to be a part of and was trying to be cool, but also scared shitless.
Yeah.
The day came to an end and it was time to ride the bus home. Mind you, I hadn't ridden a school bus before, so I was a little nervous. After school, I got on and was a bit dazed and not paying attention. The kid I sat next to wasn't much of a talker, and I was lost in the thought of my potential crushes and new friends. The bus came to a stop and the door opened, and I robotically jumped up to get off the bus. And as I stepped off the last step, I heard the bus driver scream after me, "Hey, you can't get off here. Get back on the bus." I looked around and realized we were stopped at the train tracks.
What?
Because you know buses have to like open the door at the train tracks. It's like a whole thing.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she just
why?
Like,
in case what?
Apparently it dates back to something that happened, some like crazy accident that happened. So they opened the door because I looked this up because I was like, this is so weird. Like, why is the bus opening
so you
the
can
door
get
at the train
off
tracks?
In case...
No, it's not so you can get off. It's so they can hear if a train's coming. I guess there was some school bus accident a long time ago at the train tracks. So now time they stop at a train tracks, they open the door because it increases visibility and sound. So that's why they do it.
She just gets off and is looking
so
at
empty
train.
So she straight up
track.
Got off at the train tracks and everybody on the bus is like, what is she doing? So embarrassing. Eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
I looked around and realized we were stopped at the train tracks, not my house, and I had to walk of shame my way back onto the bus while the other kids laughed and said, "What is she doing?"
Oh, God.
I muttered and gave a little wave and curtsy and said, "Sorry, I've never been on a bus before," and sat back down. A few of the guys teased me for a little bit after that, but I did end up flourishing there and making lots of friends as the shiny new girl.
That's so great. Okay, that ends really well.
It ended well.
You know, and also that might add to the mystique. They're like, this girl lives on the tracks. Going on. She's a train jumper. She rides the rails at night.
She rides the rails.
That's not really a selling point, right? To anyone but me. Maybe it is. I think so.
She in eighth grade?
You spread that rumor?
Yeah.
Like this girl,
this chick's a
the rumors
badass.
Are flying about everyone. Yeah. Like, oh, this girl slept with so and so, and this guy did this, and blah blah. That girl's
she breaks the rules. She gets off the bus at train tracks. Yeah,
she jumps the trains at night. She's a vagabond.
She's a vagabond.
She's a traveling vagabond. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, good. She was thriving there.
She thrived.
There you go. Okay.
We love a thriving story.
I do love it when the stories kind of meander, because look, all of these stories to me are so. They're so wonderful because there's so much vulnerability and so much embarrassment, but also, you know, you kind of, they've shown up and given us the story to tell. And ultimately what you realize is that we're all coming from an innocent place a lot of the time.
We are.
It comes from like love or, you know, whatever these embarrassing moments happening come from. It's always so funny because it's honest.
They're
all
so
I mean?
Different. Yeah.
It's so different. Okay, so I have one more story.
You know I want to hear it.
I'm gonna tell you. All right. This is from Elizabeth in Mississippi. I'd just given vaginal birth to my first child and was in the hospital recovery ward. On the second day after labor, I decided I'd go for a tiny walk around the ward to get the circulation going, and my husband agreed to go with me while my mom watched our baby. Walking felt good. I shuffled along, taking it slow, and my husband said, "Look at that little berry goblin." I turned to see a small child in the hallway look up quickly like she'd heard him. She had a face covered in berries she'd eaten. Her cheeks were puffed out and full of berries. Her hands were covered in berries and berries were dripping from her mouth. Wait, what?
I love that berry goblin.
Can you imagine
goblin?
Seeing that in the hospital? For some reason, it made me laugh so hard. Just that unexpected surprised look on her face when my husband called her a berry goblin sent me into hysterics. Berry goblin. That poor child must have been terrified by what happened next. I laughed and laughed, and before I knew it, my adult diaper was soaked with pee and sliding down my legs.
Oh, no.
Because you can't hold anything in.
Oh, no.
Oh, it landed with a thud on the floor. I kept peeing. My husband started diving around looking for something, a towel, anything to clean it up, which made me laugh harder. I stepped out of my diaper as I held onto the nurse's desk, and he grabbed it and threw it out. The nurses sprung into action, rushing to help us back to our room. It took years after birth to not pee when I laughed, and we just started calling my now 5-year-old son Berry Goblin when he eats berries. I can relate to that.
That is
Elizabeth.
So cute.
I just pee when I laugh. I've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
I did not give birth to a baby before I started doing that. So it's okay if you laugh and you pee. It's a compliment, really.
It is.
Someone makes you laugh so hard you pee. That's good.
That is.
That's good for everyone around watching it too. It's
yeah.
Good.
In the it's hospital. Not. That is rough.
Yeah.
It was so weighed down that it just slid all the way.
Yes. Yeah. She's, you know, she's probably still wearing her.
I mean, they see so much stuff after birth.
Oh,
like,
yeah. They've seen everything.
They have seen it all. You have to let all of your pride go out the window after you have a baby.
Even when you're in labor, you got to let your pride go out.
Oh, yeah.
I showed, forget it. Well, no, I'll tell you. It was embarrassing. They flipped me over when I was in labor. They were like, okay, try this new position where you're on all fours.
They flipped you over?
Well, I was pushing, but then they're like, it's taking forever. It took like 6 hours. And so they pushed me, they turned me over and I get on all fours and my hospital gown falls off. So I'm butt naked and I have the biggest hemorrhoid that is showing to all the nurses in the back of the room. It's like the biggest, like raging, like, and I just knew, I just could hear the silence fall over the, like all the nurses. I was just like, here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So that's out there. Hey, guys. I had a big hemorrhoid when I was in labor.
Most people did. I definitely did, too. Yeah. Everybody got hemorrhoids.
That on...
It's common.
Wait, what was that shout back to the I feel like my flaming butt? What was it in the first story?
My butt's spicy.
I feel like my butt is spicy. Guys,
you had a different kind of
guess
spicy
what?
Butt.
I have a different kind of spicy butt. And that's our show.
We hope you enjoyed
it. Leave them wanting more, Katie.
Leave them wanting more. If you loved it, please tell a friend. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us move up the charts.
Yes.
And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, please email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
Yay. And if you can't beat them,
join them. We'll see you next week.
Bye.